Welcome to the France 24 debate. I'm Mark Owen in Paris. As France bids the fondest of farewells to a true cinema legend, we ask, where does this leave French film and French culture? Jean-Paul Belmondo died at the age of 88. The tributes continue to flood in. And one perhaps best sums him up. An extraordinary hero of ordinary France. Basically, a man of the people who was also the biggest star of his generation. A special national tribute was held this Thursday at Invalides, where France honours its most treasured citizens. Here we'll be talking about Belmondo, his art, his influence, what made him such an enduring star. We'll also be looking at the French New Wave, that his early work exemplified, and French cinema today, who takes up where Belmondo left off. First, a brief reminder of the magic Jean-Paul Belmondo created on the cinema screen.
Si vous n'aimez pas la mer, si vous n'aimez pas la montagne, si vous n'aimez pas la ville, allez vous faire foutre. Oh, oh. Des petites filles qui font de l'autostop. D'accord, je stoppe et je facture un baiser du kilomètre.
I'm so glad we didn't translate that to English because it was quite rude at one point, wasn't it? Let's hear now from one of Belmondo's biggest, well, most prominent fans today, the president, Emmanuel Macron.
Belmondo. Jean-Paul Belmondo was like family, a brother, a cousin, an uncle, a seductive friend, an extraordinary father.
Père hors norme.
A hero of a thousand faces whose career covered thousands of lives, including some of our own, and that marked 6 decades of French life. In his 6 decades of theater and cinema, he tackled every genre. The face that brought audiences to darkened theaters, the charisma that lit up French nights by the TV. Belmondo was a figure who spanned styles, endured epochs, and broke every barrier.
It's a funeral, but people smiling. It's very much a celebration of Jean-Paul Belmondo's life. Let's introduce you to our guests to discuss him, French cinema, French culture, all manner of things on this sad, bittersweet day. Scott Hillier is president of the European Independent Film Festival. Thank you, sir, for being with us. Great to see you. On the other side of our studio, but not necessarily against, you know how it works here. Pierre-Simon Goodman is deputy editor of L'Avant-Scène Cinéma. Thanks for joining us, sir.
It's perfect.
Back to the other side now, Daniela Elsner, executive director of UniFrance. Thank you for joining us. And joining us from afar, Richard Penner, who's director emeritus of the New York Film Festival. Richard, thanks for being with us. I'll give you the first bite, Richard, because we're with you, just to test whether we're here and you're okay. Your thoughts on the passing of Jean-Paul Belmondo.
Well, of course, it's sad for anyone who loves cinema. He certainly was one of the two great male icons of the French New Wave, along with Jean-Pierre Léaud. In a certain way, Belmondo was insolence and Léaud was innocence. And I think the sort of French New Wave kind of vacillated a little bit between those two poles. Certainly, I think his performance in Breathless, as well as in Pierrot le Fou, are just absolute landmarks in French cinema. And he went on to enjoy a long career after that. I think in the U.S., he somewhat faded from view, perhaps by the 1970s. If you look at his work, he's in a lot more commercial work then, which didn't really cross the pond that much. Some of us, of course, followed it when we could, but I think for the general public, the image of Belmondo remains either of those two films I mentioned, or perhaps That Man from Rio, which was a very, very popular film.
Indeed, Richard, thank you very much indeed. We saw a clip from Breathless before, A Bout de Souffle, to give it its French title, the great sort of French New Wave work. And if I can bring you in, Pierre-Simon, to comment on that, because you, when you saw it, your face lit up. It's like it's a really iconic clip. It's certainly one of my favorite movies. How important was that film?
The film, we can begin to discuss the importance of Breathless.
It's a question that's really a thesis, isn't it?
But what struck me in the words that were just said was actually something else. He said that Belmondo's presence faded by the mid-70s. Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting because, yes, there are two big faces to Belmondo. There are many, but the big face is the first one, the let's say New Wave actor. It's a bit more complicated, but let's say that. And the second one, which is the big commercial action hero. And yes, the mid-70s is really the point. I think the movie Peur sur la ville, which I don't have the English translation, will be a perfect point to
Peur sur la ville.
Yeah, I don't... And you know...
Fear in the city, let's call it that.
And you talk about his legacy in French cinema. If we talk about importance of big movies, it was the important Belmondo. But for the French cinema and for the larger public as well, it's really the other one, which is really sorely missed, because he was a movie star that was hugely popular. I mean, in France, no, that's like talking about an alien. Nothing comes to him at his peak happens. Once, because I was working on a paper on economy, I saw all his success, you know. It's amazing. He was he was a superstar in the monetary sense. We can talk about many things, but every movie with him, if it made just money, it was a failure. If it made a lot of money, it was okay. And now we only talk about money, but that was important for French cinema. He was someone back from a day when French cinema was making money, when art was director, had their movies financed, Eric Romer, Truffaut, or Rivette. I saw an interview by them. They were talking about the good old days when Belmondo could make a movie. The producer were making a lot of money, and he could come to Eric Romer and said, hey, I'm going to produce your movie. It's not a lot for me, and I know that Le Professionnel, Le Solitaire, one of the many action movies will make money. So there's also this figure, which is a bit less famous in the world, because they don't care about these movies, which I understand, they're not great movies. But in the scheme of French cinema, it's very important. We also mourn someone which was actually a popular actor, and we don't have that a lot.
Extraordinary man for ordinary France was how yes. Lynn Renault summed it up earlier today. Can I bring you in to talk about it, Danielle, what you think? Because I think what we're seeing here is at two sides, as Pierre Simon was saying there, the new wave Belmondo, then the sort of popular Belmondo who managed to connect with ordinary people, which is a fairly unique skill, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's particularly interesting because if you look at what Richard just and you repeated, that actually indeed there were two faces, and then somehow Belmondo faded maybe in the US, but actually in Europe. I was looking through all the tributes that Germans and Spanish and Italian newspapers paid to Jean-Paul Belmondo today, and actually there is this popular face of Belmondo also for Ace of Aces, for The Professional, which actually did very well in Europe, but did cross less. And I think it's really something, I think this icon also came out of it. I think we can be very proud as France to have this actor who actually united in his career, starting with Godard, with the New Wave, which actually was also something that was in for the US, like really something starting again to bring French cinema back to the public in the US, and then continuing his career in Europe, crossing. Of course, he also Breathless went all over the world, but then the more popular films crossed very well in Europe. And I think this is also very important for me that actually he has, like, he made it all.
But what is it about him that sort of spoke to ordinary people, do you think? I think people sense, and President Macron was talking about this, he felt like he was one of the family. What was it about him particularly, do you think?
I think this was touched all of us today the most. Now, when Macron, our president of the Republic, says he was part of the family, and I think that basically a lot of Italians today were able to say exactly the same thing as the Germans, as maybe a lot of people in the US. So what I think is that's what makes his career and the man an icon. I mean, there is something, and I think that's also the legacy of Jean-Paul Belmondo. I think he gave that to a lot of actors, whether they are in America or in Europe. And I think this is also something very particular.
Many faces to Belmondo. He was at one point part of the management structure of Paris Saint-Germain Football Club, which everybody knows today, of course, because they're mega rich and winning everything, apart from the Champions League, of course. He had a career as a boxer, too. There was a photograph we showed earlier on. He's kind of blocking a shot. That was in my French grammar book as a child, sort of school, and it made me get more interested in learning French. So Belmondo there on another level, working his magic. Let's bring in Scott Healy, president of the European Independent Film Festival. Sir, go on, what do you think?
I'm just doing some research about coming on tonight, but there was read an article that there was sort of Americans were sort of comparing him to Humphrey Bogart and stuff like that. It was very, very interesting. I'm just going to read a quick quote. It's like, he represented something tough yet vulnerable, laconic but intense, notably lacking in neurosis or the stumbling insecurities of homo americanus.
And love it.
And I loved it, just for the fact that he didn't go to the States. He's just like, I'm fine. I'm doing just fine.
And that comparison with Humphrey Bogart, Pierre Simon, you're going to tell me now, you remember that from Abu de Souffle, where he's standing outside the cinema. He sees a picture of Bogart and he tries to strike the same pose. It was this kind of, I don't know, sense of being able to almost do things as naturally as people in the street would do it, that kind of, I think, maybe sort of spoke to people.
I remember someone said that a movie star, and I don't know who it is who said that, so I'm being a bit ridiculous.
No, you're not, sir.
Someone that can at least, at the same time, be a god and a regular guy, regular people. Huh? Belmondo in France was perfect. I mean, he's a textbook definition of that. He wasn't ordinary. No, he wasn't. He was stronger, more funny, but he was completely ordinary too. So that's the textbook definition of the movie star. He was above and he was completely at your level at the same time. Not many actors.
Let's go back to Richard. Richard in the States. Can you hear me, sir? I hope you can. I'm thinking parallel with Steve McQueen, but different.
No, because you can't imagine Steve McQueen ever acting for Godard. You know, I think that's part of the difference. You know, I mean, Belmondo was, you know, Belmondo was a great figure. As I said, you know, I think in the U.S. there's such a difference between, say, the 50s and 70s with regards to French cinema. In the 50s, there was actually a fairly rich presence of French cinema beyond what we would think of as art films. I mean, thrillers like Touché par le Grisby or some of the big literary adaptations, The Charter House of Parma and things like that, all of those received big releases in the U.S. That died in the 60s. After that, the only French films that came were quote-unquote art films. I can remember looking at Belmondo's filmography. I remember Borsellino, which is about 1970. It had a little bit of a run in the U.S., but really after that, I think he faded. And part of that is just maybe in the U.S. people feel we have enough popular cinema. We don't need necessarily French thrillers, whatever. It's a shame because some of them are quite good. But that has always been, as Daniela can tell you, a much harder market to crack. I mean, there's a art circuit, as minimal as it is, in which French cinema is not only welcome, but is in many ways dominant. But in terms of the commercial cinema, it's much harder for those other films to be seen here, except if you're a Francophile or have a particular interest or something like that. Perhaps in the era of home video, it became a little easier, but still, these weren't films that had a big repercussion. I can, in fact, remember a show when I worked at Lincoln Center, a show that we did called Rendezvous with French Cinema. We showed the film by Cédric Lapiche called Pourquoi Pas, or something. Was that Pourquoi Pas? Perhaps, I think, was the English title. Anyway, in that film, Belmondo has a part, and many people were shocked when they saw Belmondo, because they had never seen an old Belmondo. And I remember people coming out afterwards saying, oh my God, I couldn't believe that was Jean-Paul Belmondo. So it was, you know, very kind of funny because indeed I think it had been for many people decades since they had seen him in a screen role.
Indeed. And as a man, of course, as a male actor, he's allowed to age, isn't he? It's one of the things that...
Yes, of course.
That's it, because if you're a female actress, you're not allowed to age, are you? That's the way sort of like society stacks against women, another aspect of that. But Belmondo wearing it well, wearing it through, living life to the full, and it showed in his face, which is remarkable. You called upon Daniela to make a statement there about how things translate from country to country. As someone who grew up in the north of England, Jean-Paul Belmondo was present only in my French textbook. I didn't see him on cinema screens or TV screens. Well, an occasional late night film with subtitles, I think, but it wasn't someone who people knew. Why don't these things happen? Why don't these films travel, do you think?
Well, actually, it's not. They did travel, and they do still travel. But as Richard just said, it's a very small, narrow community where the difficulties is how to access the wider public and how to make the film, these films, actually popular enough. But I'm quite happy that Richard mentioned maybe peut-être de Cédric Lapiche, because actually Romain Duris was starring in this film alongside Jean-Paul Belmondo, and I think Romain Duris is also somehow a kind, I think, in a kind of heritage of Jean-Paul Belmondo. And I think it was actually a very great film having both of them together. And these kind of films do travel and get actually out to the public all over the world. So, well, probably, yes, where you grew up, probably TV had small access, and you mentioned the subtitled access. I think that's also one of our challenges, of course, for French cinema nowadays and since ever, like how public that is used to see films in their own language, how does it translate? It's complicated to watch a film with subtitles.
Yeah, I think I'm also a lot older than all of you too. Scott, your final comment, please.
Okay, I mean, I think there's one thing that's changed dramatically with the advent of Netflix, and that's the fact I lived in America for a long time, and I went to NYU and whatever. When I went there and I was making films there, no one would watch a film with subtitles. It was just an abhorrent thing to them. And I think Netflix has changed that, because now you see people watching Spanish films. So I think the market is open to these new French directors who are coming up, because I see a lot of them. And so,
Scott, thank you very much indeed. We'll have much more from our guests in the second part. To end this first part of the debate on Jean-Paul Belmondo, let's take a look at some images from the national homage paid to the great French actor at Invalides in Paris earlier. Welcome back to the France 24 debate. France said a national au revoir, or perhaps adieu, to the actor Jean-Paul Belmondo this Thursday, a special homage held at Invalides in the centre of the French capital. The crowds had turned out, said as much about Belmondo as a star as a man, and we're here paying tribute and asking whether French cinema will ever shine quite as brightly as it did with Bebel, as he was known in a leading role. Let's introduce you to our guests here to discuss this. Scott Healy is president of the European International Film Festival. Thanks for being with us, Scott. On the other side of our studio, Pierre-Simon Gutmann, deputy editor of L'Avant-Scène Cinema. Thanks for being with us, sir. Daniela Elster is Executive Director of UniFrance. Thanks for joining us. And joining us from afar in New York is Richard Penner, Director Emeritus of the New York Film Festival. Richard, thanks for being with us. Before I let loose the guests to talk more about Belmondo, his influence, and what happens next in French cinema and culture, let's take a little look at the fans, the people who watch and will, of course, remember Jean-Paul Belmondo.
A PSG shirt with an unexpected name on the back, in honour of this football fan's favourite actor.
Moi, c'est mon père qui m'a montré tous ses films, en fait. Le L'As des As, Le Magnifique, Le Marginal, tous ses films, vraiment, il me les a tous montrés, et moi, j'ai accroché direct.
For older generations, Jean-Paul Belmondo's car chases, stunts and fight scenes are iconic. Though will they capture the imagination of young people?
Donc moi j'ai 20 ans, j'ai regardé quelques films de Jean-Paul Belmondo parce que mon père est très fan de Godard. C'est comme ça que je l'ai connu, notamment dans Pierrot le Fou. J'ai vraiment adoré le film.
Pour moi Jean-Paul Belmondo c'est un peu l'acteur star de nos grands-parents.
Je pense pas que ce soit has-been ou que ce soit déconnecté, je pense que non, il y a toujours vraiment un fond... Un fond actuel.
Non, je connais pas bien, j'ai pas regardé toute sa filmographie, mais je connais deux noms.
Will parents and grandparents show the films of their childhood to their children?
J'aurais au moins montré À bout de souffle. Pierrot le Fou, c'était un peu plus difficile. Et puis dans un autre style, le professionnel.
Je pense que c'est vraiment essentiel pour la transmission, pour la culture même française. C'est quelque chose qu'on aime partager avec eux.
An icon in France of his generation, Belmondo's memory will live on through his films, with his passing prompting many to either re-watch or discover certain classics for the first time.
Straight home to watch Abou de Souf tonight. I think that's what will happen in our house. Pierre Simon, can I bring you on this one? Because what we saw in that piece was a lot about the popular films that Belmondo made. What you describe, I think, as the second part, the popular part of his career, far removed from his work with Godard, for instance. Very different.
Very different, but you know, it happened quite gradually because actually he became a very popular film star very early on. The movie that made him a popular movie star, there's one precisely, it's called The Man of Rio. I think we can, that's the movie that made him a huge star and allowed him to be the equal of Alain Delon, which was the other big star that started the Belmondo Delon. And actually, Belmondo was much more popular than Delon, actually. That wasn't really a fight. But it started much more gradually because after he made The Man of Rio, he still made Pierrot le Fou. He still made a lot of these movies. So he was both of them for a long time. From the mid-60s to the mid-70s, there was a point when he was both, really. He could make a Godard movie and make it popular because Pierrot le Fou really had quite an impact commercially too. And at some point, and in Belmondo Biography, they talk about it, he stopped. It was a choice from him, I think. He became a brand. I mean, a brand, when I was a kid, I mean, a Belmondo movie that was big, you know. Posters, his name was always with the same typo. It's very famous. That shows you how much a brand he was. And if we talk about history, there's one movie called Stavisky by Alain René, which is important because he produced that movie, and it was pretty much a commercial failure. And it's probably the one when he tried again to do both, you know. It's the one movie when we can see the super popular superstar Belmondo trying to work with René, trying to still be him with the same poster, the same typo, and trying to do something a bit more ambitious. He produced it. It didn't work that well commercially only. I think it's a good movie. And, I mean, it's a choice he made at some point. He decided to leave this all behind and to become this kind of poster boy, action star, to make one movie a year, always a success. I mean, never. And to do it up until almost it was 1995 approximately.
It's amazing how the titles really stick in your mind, because my producer Charles Went and I were having a discussion earlier today about this actual debate, and we were actually sort of talking in Belmondo movie titles rather than actually making statements, because they're so evocative, a lot of Le Professionnel, Le Marginal, things like that. And it was our little joke there, and that's how we are here sitting around here doing this actual debate. Two questions stick with me after what Pierre Simon was saying. Belmondo, Alain Delon. Why did Alain Delon perhaps seem to have more of a career in Anglophone circles, perhaps? Because as a kid growing up in the UK, I was aware of Alain Delon before I was aware of Belmondo. And can you do both art house and be popular? Or does there always have to be that gap between the two? Daniela, can I ask you for an answer on both of those questions, please?
Well, I think on the question, can you be both? I think yes, because actually he did it in a way, and he is this icon that left us a few days ago. I think it's more and more difficult because actually the market is nowadays, of course, getting more and more difficult, and you have this kind of... we have all the platforms coming in. We have a new kind of business model working on cinema, but also on these series. But I mean, just to name one, because I think it's also someone we all know nowadays, like someone like Omar Sy, who actually came out. Well, he never went on the very art house cinema, but he still went. He made films that traveled all over the world. And nowadays he got picked up somehow by the bigger platforms and now is really internationally a huge star. So I think there is something possible. It definitely changed because you can't, I mean, I think this the Nouvelle Vague, like the whole movement of the Nouvelle Vague, I think did change literally the whole world and the perception of French cinema worldwide. And I think this is something unique. And nowadays we have an heritage of the Nouvelle Vague and people, there are some art house films that will more really be in this heritage, and others really definitely do more popular films and not so, and to put all of this together will be more and more difficult, I think, within the new world of our market that changed a lot. For Alain Delon, I'm not a big specialist of Alain Delon, but I think the career-wise also, when it came, for instance, I mean, Italy was a big country of production and co-production, and I think Alain Delon very quickly also deliberately went to co-produce in different films, etc. Maybe something that Belmondo, it came more up to him, maybe someone of Richard, maybe you have also an inside view for Alain Delon's...
Richard, what do you think?
Well, he's here. Well, I mean,
Go ahead.
To me, is, I mean, there's a little bit of a different substance. There's something much finer about him, you know, almost a little fragile. But, you know, he, as Daniela said, he very early started working in, say, in Italian films, Rocco and his brother, Antonioni's Eclipse, The Long Night of Summer. I mean, really wonderful Italian films, and continued, I think, to have perhaps more of a foot in that area than, say, Belmondo did after the 1970s, with the noted exception of Stravinsky. Let me just say one thing, though. One thing I have always admired about French actors in general is that they have a much greater willingness to work with younger or more experimental directors. Catherine Deneuve will work with Philippe Garrel or with Arnaud Desplechin, or, you know, in a certain way, this level of actor, Vincent Landon, who's currently in Titan, you know, these are actors who are incredibly well established. They could lean back and do whatever they wanted, and yet they challenge themselves and perhaps their audiences by actually collaborating. It's almost impossible to imagine a Robert De Niro or a Meryl Streep working with a director at that level of budget and production and notoriety. They just wouldn't do it. And it's something I admire very much about the French. And it's one of the many things I can say I admire about French cinema.
It's great. And you guys are giving me a whole list of films that I have to watch. And I'm going to be very busy when I get some free time at the weekend. Scott, can I have your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting about, you know, I'm a film director and I'm always looking for actors and actresses. Mm. And it's very hard to do globally, but it's easier in France. And I came across a great quote here. It's like, French film culture in general is marked by an openness to the possibility of the new, the expectation that something revelatory might be just around the corner. And that's why film festivals like Cannes, which I don't always agree on, but, you know, it's fueled by that sort of tantalizing sort of frisson of something new and great that's going to come around the corner.
This is great.
But just one thing. I mean, we're on the show. I can see a big sign there that says the debate. We haven't debated anybody, and I know that they check for knives and guns outside.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I'm in the privileged position of, you know, in the president of a festival to actually see all the new up-and-coming film directors, and it's a fabulous thing to watch. But to bounce this out, I'm Australian, but, you know, to the French here, it's like, there's a great headline here. It's like, French cinema is more than just entertainment. Is that true, and is it going to be true going on?
This is a big question that escapes. I used to watch a lot of new movies too, I stopped, but for 7 years I was a programmer for the Critics Week in the Cannes Film Festival. Mm-hmm. So I watched every first and second movie in the whole wide world. Yeah. Stuff that would never come out actually in a million years. So I was really in position to talk, and even though it was an international festival, French films was a big obsession because we needed at least two big French films, and I can see. And trust me, when you work at the Critics Week or in Cannes, even though they talk about the world, everybody wants to know what are the French films that you selected. Mm-hmm. And actually, because you bump into the producers at some places, you shouldn't also. But that's the big question. And the thing is that we can't really talk about Belmondo because he came from a different place where commercial cinema was actually really working very well. I mean, this isn't happening. Omar Sy is close to it, but it's not there yet. Belmondo was someone that you cast in a movie, people went. Mm. That's it. Mm. No one is like that. And we have a lot of French cinema that work commercially, but commercial French cinema doesn't work, which means that producers produce movies, they hope it's going to work, but there is no formula. A lot of commercial movies tank every year. Lot of comedy that should be popular tank all the time. And sometimes it works. But it's not like before where producers were sure of the recipe. Let's put Belmondo in, he will do this, people will come. And my God, they did come. And sometimes Alain Delon. So French cinema is mainly this because the basic French commercial cinema isn't there anymore.
What about the likes of Marion Cotillard, for instance? I mean, she's well known. Is she someone who can make a film work? Omar Sy, you said. I mean, certainly he's making things work on Netflix, isn't he, with the Lupin series. We talk about Netflix being important like that. Perhaps that's where the future of French cinema, in inverted commas, lies, via that medium. I don't know. I mean, Marion Cotillard, what do you think?
Marion Cotillard is almost one of the biggest stars there is, but if you look at her track record, all her movies are unpopular, which is really not. She's amazing. She's a great star. She's amazing. This is really, I'm really being, for once, the pragmatic, which is quite unusual for me, but I took this spot. That's what debates are. Someone takes a spot. It's not, well, so I'm in this spot. But This is, you know, you have to understand that if we do French history of cinema, in the 1990s, there was a rush to find the new Belmondo and Delon. But that's really a thing. Because Belmondo was pushing in the 50s. They were playing Tom Cruise, you know. I'm still young at 57 years old. But we knew it wasn't the case. And for 10 years, they tried to. And, you know, they're not as famous. They were Bernard Girondeau, Gérard Lanvin, Richard Berry. It never worked, but I can find you the movies. They tried as hard as they could to turn them into the new Belmondo and the new Delon.
Gérard Depardieu?
Gérard Depardieu, I remember a book by a famous French director, Jean-Michel Frodon. He said that Depardieu took the mantle from Belmondo. Belmondo took it from Gabin, you read the book, and then Depardieu took it. And he did take it, except in the box office, because if you're a producer, you produce a Depardieu movie, people won't necessarily come. They'll come to one out of three. He did take the mantle. Depardieu is the one that took more or less the spot of the grand film actor that Belmondo had, that Gabin had before him. But that's really... really but wasn't the same thing.
I'll
come to you in a moment, Richard.
Yes.
Go ahead, Daniela.
We should also speak about Jean Dujardin. Gilles Lelouch, of course, internationally, is maybe on the edge to get further now. But Jean Dujardin and The Artist, I think, is one of the films that might also be in a sort of legacy. Mm. And I think Jean Dujardin has internationally a great career and is now one of the actors that you can mainly get people into theaters, not only in France, but also worldwide. And I just want to come back to your French cinema is more than just entertainment. I think, yes, and we should also be very proud of that, because that's also the legacy of the Nouvelle Vague, of the films by Godard, etc., because it has opened for French cinema a different point of view, the ability to not do just commercial films and expect people to be millions to see, but we have a great and rich diversity. Richard, I mean, you have headed our rendezvous with French cinema for so many years. We are so grateful, by the way, because he did a great job in New York for all French films. I think you can easily probably make a comment on that too, no?
Go ahead, Richard.
Yes, no, I mean, yeah, I think French film continues to be very healthy. I mean, look, they're making 250 films, if not more, a year. So, I mean, if there are 10 really good ones, that's great. But, I mean, as someone was saying, many of the others hardly see the light of day. But this isn't, you know, particular to France. This is all over the world. Something I wanted to say is, you know, I think we're chasing our tail a little bit in terms of this idea of the new Belmondo or whatever. That era is over. I don't think movies really work that way anymore. I just look at all the American stars with Chris Pratt, I can't even tell these people apart, you know? I mean, they're all the same. So, I mean, I just don't really think that era of the star is with us anymore. Like the era of the old Hollywood studios, it's gone. You know, it was a moment of film history. It had its importance. But I think the star is no longer that salient a figure. I don't know in the American cinema who can really sell a film necessarily. You know, I think that there are a number of people, if the film works, it's an advantage to have them. But I don't think there's that automatic, oh, well, Chris Pratt is in it, I better go see it, you know? I just don't think people really work that way anymore with stars. And again, as I said, I think that era is really over. Maybe the last star in the old sense, you know, for me in the United States is Jack Nicholson. You know, that was the last sort of actor who had a personality in a way. And in a way that was, I think, you know, when he, you know, now he doesn't really work anymore, but I think once he passed, that was really it.
Richard, thank you very much indeed. It's illuminating stuff, this. I'm absolutely loving it. Daniela, can I come back to you? Which, you know, French movies, do they work? Is it happening on Netflix? Where's the future going to be, do you think? Which is going to happen? I'm thinking perhaps of, you know, I've got two little nephews in the UK. They watch Lupin on Netflix. I think it's absolutely fantastic. They're bugging me to get posters. And I'm going to do my very, very best. But that kind of access is interesting, isn't it? And it's happening with French series on a different kind of platform.
Yes, and we have to work on that too. I think we all have faced and are still facing the COVID crisis. I mean, the fact that cinemas just closed, it affected all of us. But I think the interesting thing is that now the countries where the cinemas reopened in the, let's say, more or less normal shape, actually people really go back and don't go only back to see American films, because actually they're not released yet. So they go back to see national films of their own country. But French films have been, during all the crisis, very present all over the world, because every French producer basically they all were happy to just get out with the films. And I must also say that the French artists were very present and very connecting to the public worldwide. So we have a real challenge of getting people back into theaters, but I still think there are two ways. I mean, you watch your series at home, you don't go out, there is no specific effort, but there is also no sharing of this very specific moment. And then you have the cinema experience that is just sitting to a stranger somewhere next to a stranger in a theater is just something that you can't experience with a series. And I think this is something that will go on. So now the thing is how we, as like for French films, what can we do to just get it more and more popular and keep it like this? And well,
tell good stories.
I just wanted to say that.
Tell good stories, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, the world is what helps French cinema. I mean, for example, the biggest star among the new directors in French is Julia Ducournau. This is really, I mean, come on. And you know, Raw and Titan didn't make as much money as they could in France. They are a big success, but it's the world who carried them. You know that, I'm sure, more than I. But I know that they weren't that popular, for bad reason, I think they should have been more popular, with the French public, which is not a problem. It's actually the world, the public all over the world, is what carried Julia Ducournau there, and that's a good thing, that's great. And this is actually a very important thing, because that's what carries French cinema. That's the international. That's something that really... we must not forget. That's where the challenge is, actually.
We have a huge generation of young women making films. Céline Sciamma is the portrait of Lady on Fire. Is the film that in 2020 had the most, it was the widest success publicly in theaters worldwide. So it's the best French film worldwide. And I think this is also something to be mentioned. She's a huge star in the US. And we are very happy to have a lot of young women directors. So that's probably, I mean, Julia Ducournau is the, of course, with the Palme d'Or winning female only, single female winning the Palme d'Or, I think is something great. So,
female.
But the only one, she got it for, there was no...
It was a double Palme d'Or with Chen Kai-che, I think.
Yeah. Double
Scott?
Palme d'Or.
So, I think the thing about French cinema is the fact that, you know, they always say that there's a very, you know, they're often a reflection of life. And we had a film a couple of years ago in our festival that ended up winning a big prize in our festival called Les Miserables. It was a short film. And then due to that, he went on to make a much bigger film. And I think, you know, a good story is always going to top a good star because people are going to go back and say, wow, you really got to see this film. They don't say, hey, go back and watch Tom Cruise jump out of an aeroplane. So I think that the storytelling is always going to win. And the French can be very good at it. They can also sort of miss the line sometimes. And getting back to the point of female directors, you know, I grew up in a world of, you know, going to war with female war reporters, so we never had that sort of different sort of thing. But working with female directors and watching all the films that I come in, and you know what it's like to watch films for a film festival, you can spot the difference, and it's a very interesting thing to watch and admire, and I think it's going to keep going on. If you say there's more in the pipeline coming, it's going to be great.
Final comment, I think it will be now, to Richard Penner, the Director Emeritus of the New York Film Festival. Richard, you're closing the debate for us, obviously. We're talking about Belmondo and his legacy, but obviously what happens next with French cinema, and of course that influence. Do you think there will be a lasting Belmondo effect that is felt in world cinema?
Frankly, no. I'm sorry. I mean, I think he's great, and I'm glad he's part of film history, but I don't think there's really a legacy that's going to go on. Times have just changed too much. I mean, even the notion of popular cinema, whatever that means, you know, I think is significantly challenged nowadays. We're living in a time of transition. No one really knows what things are going to be like if we ever get out of the COVID crisis. So even going to the movies, you know, I don't have a lot of hope for theatrical presentation in the next 10 years. You know, I think it's going to really diminish quite a bit. And this is going to change. I do agree with what Daniela said. Watching a series is really different than watching a movie, but that's going to become the paradigm. And we'll see how we deal with that.
People clinging to stories or clinging to stars. Quick one, go on, Scott. Go on.
When you love life, you've been to the cinema.
But you know, you said the story over, but Belmondo was the life. That's what he was.
Yeah, I know.
He got fired. He got a terrible knock coming from the conservatory because what he liked was living, was improvising. It's very famous that he wanted to be a stage actor or to become a different. He wasn't because he was too much.
Thank you to Richard Penn in New York. Thank you to Pierre Simon Goodman, who's just finished speaking. Thank you to Daniela Elsner, and thank you to Scott Elliott. Most of all, thank you to you, and thank you to Jean-Paul Belmondo for your fantastic career, sir. Rest in peace. Stay with us here on France 24.